last year for a minute. So I'm standing backstage at the Viaduct Events Centre in Auckland. And in a few minutes, I'm going to walk out and speak to 600 people at the New Zealand Institute of Directors Conference. And here's the thing. I'd never spoken to a room that size before, and I hadn't done much work in the governance space, to be honest. But I've been invited by the CEO, who's really backed me. But that didn't really change the maths in the room. And if he'd asked me in that moment what was going on for me, I probably would have said something vague like, oh, I'm a bit nervous. But underneath, if I'd been honest with myself, I would have said, well, I'm afraid these directors won't see me as relevant and my message is going to land flat. And that's the fear underneath the fear. So today I want to talk about fear, and specifically about a simple sequence that I use with myself and with the leaders I coach when fear shows up, which is pretty often, right? Here's what I reckon. Fear runs more leadership than people like to admit. It's mostly that quiet kind of fear. You know, the fear of being found out or of making a wrong call when the consequences are real or of letting people down. And maybe it's the fear, I reckon this is really common, this one, of slowing down enough in a way that would let your emotions catch up with you. You know what I mean? What I noticed over and over is that most leaders are pretty good at carrying all of that weight, but way fewer are good at working with it. So the sequence that I use is a simple sort of three-part move. It's called name it, frame it, and tame it. And I've turned it into a worksheet, and I'll put a link in the show notes so you can grab that if you want to. But I'm going to just talk you through it. So the first move is name it. And what I'm noticing is that fear stays bigger when it's vague. And when you name it specifically, it shrinks down to something you can actually work with, which is kind of like that breathe out. You know, when you walk around and you've kind of got that vague background hum of fear that's just there following you around like a smell, and you never really examine it, but you just know it's there. It's that kind of thing. So we need to name it. There's this UCLA scientist, neuroscientist, his name's Matthew Lieberman, and he spent years researching what happens when people put feelings into words. And what his work shows is something really cool, I reckon. It's the simple act of labeling an emotion that reduces activity in the amygdala. And that's the part of the brain that drives our threat response. So when we name it, the fear doesn't go away, but it becomes workable. And I love that idea of just having a workable fear. So back to backstage in Auckland. If I said, I'm nervous about this, it was not very helpful to say that for me. It's a bit too vague. But if I say, well, I'm afraid these directors won't see me as relevant, well, that's something I could actually do something with. Okay, let's name it. Let's go to the second move. It's called frame it. So once your fear has a name, you can put it into context. And I reckon there are two questions I find really useful here. First question, where's this fear coming from? Sometimes it's a real and present risk, but most fears aren't survival fears, they're social fears. Sometimes those fears come from a story 10 years ago, but it's still wearing today's clothes. And I reckon it's worth knowing the difference versus a survival risk that's real and present and a social risk that is something that probably is coming from a story from ages ago. So that's the first question. Where's it coming from? Second question is, what's realistically the worst that could happen? And what's actually most likely? And I reckon the gap between those two answers is much wider than most of us think. And seeing that gap's what lets you stop responding to a catastrophe that probably isn't there. So in my case backstage, the worst case was, well, yeah, a bomb and I'd walk off. But most likely is that my message would land for some, but not for others. And, you know, I'd learn from the experience either way. Let's go to the third move. So we've had name it, then frame it, and now the last one is tame it. Here's the thing. Wild fears are scary. But tame fears are things we can hang out with. And you can tame a fear by just taking one small action, not some massive transformation plan or anything like that, just one small thing. Maybe it's a conversation that you've been avoiding. Maybe it's a question you've been holding back. Maybe the action is just asking for help when you've been reluctant to. And what I'm learning is that action shrinks fear faster than thinking about it does. The leaders I see moving through those hard seasons, well, you know, it's just like they're just grinding through it. They're the ones who've learned to take the next small step while the fear's still there. So backstage at the Viaduct, there was a really small action that helped me. I went out into the foyer before the session and had a conversation with three of the people who were going to be in the audience, random people, just started chatting to them. And they were really fascinated. They were really interested to hear what I was going to be talking about. And that interest gave me all this kind of confidence and courage, just to, okay, yeah, the fear is going to be there, but at least I had three faces in the audience that I knew. And that made the rest of the faces feel a lot less foreign, actually. So did the talk land? Yep. The fear was still there, though, during it and actually when I walked off, but it hadn't run the show. So here's what I'd love you to sit with after this episode. If there's a fear that's sitting in your peripheral vision right now, see if you can name it. Specifically, finish the sentence, "I'm afraid that ... and try and make it really precise. And then frame it. Where's that coming from? What's the worst case? And critically, what's most likely to happen? And then finally, tame it. Take a small action. Identify something, one small thing that you can do today. Don't worry about the whole plan, but just take the next step. So I'm reminded of David White, the poet. He has this great little poem. You can check it out on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's all about just take the first step. Don't worry about the second. It's a beautiful poem. Check that out. And something else to check out is that worksheet I mentioned. It's in the show notes. It's all on one page. If you're just facing a fear, sometimes this is really good to write it out and go step by step. So check that out, download that. Hopefully it's useful as well. So one more thing just before we finish up. I reckon naming a fear is one of the most leaderful things you can do. Because if you're not honest with yourself about what's going on for you, you can't be fully honest with the people you lead. And man, do I have to learn that lesson over and over and over again. The harder it is, the more likely I need to step into having the conversation that's scary, and that keeps me moving forward. So, what fear would you name? I'm Digby Scott. This is Dig Deeper. Until next time, go well.